in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we've been walking through the 10 plagues in this season of Lent. Some of you have been here every Wednesday, and some of you have been here for a couple of our Wednesdays. We come now to Exodus chapter 11, to the final plague being threatened. The Lord never numbered the plagues for Moses, but here he says, one plague more. One more wonder, and then your people will be set free. There's almost a sense to me at this point, and I'm quoting from another person who described it this way as well, that when we get to Exodus chapter 11, the Lord is almost like a mother bear. And he is passionate in his defense of his cubs. Not that I've ever seen a mother bear, but I've heard stories and have an impression. A mother bear separated from her cubs will be ferocious and unreasoning in its attack on anything and anyone that threatens that cub. Here we see the passion of the Lord for his people. We hear threatened the ferocity and unreasoning judgment that he will bring against those who oppose his people. And the last one is the worst of all. At midnight, the firstborn sons will die. The firstborn of Pharaoh's house, the highest, all the way down to the firstborn of the handmaid at the mill, the lowest, as well as the firstborn of the cattle and the livestock. Is this payback for what Pharaoh has done to God's son? You might remember that the Lord described Israel as my firstborn son. He said, let my son go that they may worship me. But Pharaoh has refused. And so Egypt will lose their firstborn sons. Is this payback, perhaps, for what the previous Pharaoh had done? As we hear in the beginning of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, when that Pharaoh sought to limit the power of the Hebrews by having the firstborn, or having the sons of the Hebrews killed, having them even strangled after birth. The Lord here will strike the firstborn of Egypt, but he will spare his people, the Hebrews. There's also a sense in which this might have to do with some of the religious ceremonies as well. We won't be reading it here in Lent, but when you come to Exodus chapter 13, you have described there the way in which the Lord instructs his people to redeem the firstborn sons. The firstborn son of humans and of animals is to be redeemed, bought back from the Lord by a sacrifice. The firstborn belongs to him. God here is also striking at the very heart of Egyptian beliefs. We've talked a little bit about this as we've gone through these 10 plagues. So many of them are directed against the Egyptian gods. The god of the Nile, the god of frogs, the god of flies, the god who rules the skies, the hail. And here, the chief, the head deity on earth, will himself be touched. Pharaoh. Pharaoh, whom the Egyptians regarded and reckoned as God, but now at this point realize that there is one higher than Pharaoh, who has the power of life and death over Pharaoh and his household. And yet you heard how Pharaoh responds. Nothing changes. The die is cast, and now everything is moving to its culmination. Everything is headed to its conclusion. Everything is driving toward that point of deliverance. Pharaoh is hardened. He will not change. It is irreversible, and it is moving to the point of deliverance. True of the Exodus, but true also of the death of our Lord. As you read through the Gospels, you might notice that the first half of many of the Gospels covers about 2.5 years of Christ's life, and then you hit the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, and it just slows way down. But it is all moving to a point. It's all moving to the point when the firstborn Son of God will hang upon the cross. When God will give his own firstborn to do what? to redeem his people, not from slavery in Egypt, but from slavery to sin. Not from the power of Pharaoh, but from the power of the devil, and not simply from hard labor, but from death itself. The Lord sends his Son to do this work. The Lord, who claims the firstborn, puts his firstborn on the cross for you and for me. You might say in this case it is the mother bear who is not so ferocious over her cub, but who is willing to sacrifice her cub for the sake of saving others. It's an amazing thing. These 10 wonders, plagues that we've walked through, in a sense, they do also call us to repentance. We have a tenfold sin against our God. Every Sunday, we recite the 10 commandments here in Lent. And in those commandments, we see reflected our own sin and sickness and leprosy. And God has taken that sin upon himself. He has laid it on his Son upon the cross. Pharaoh will not listen. The wonders of God are multiplied. The question for us now is, will we listen? Will we hear? Will we marvel at the wonders of what our God has done, not only in Egypt, but on a hill outside of Jerusalem and at a nearby garden tomb? For our God has acted for our good. He has been ferocious for us in his love. He has sacrificed his greatest treasure, his Son, that we might be redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.